because I think everybody knows your voices and we can hear each other. And we took our sneeze guard down.
Oh, really?
Sneeze guard. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So sneeze away if you want.
Right. So free salad bar.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for getting up, because this has got to be early.
Yeah, this is early for us. I mean, we
don't even know what
we live like vampires.
We, you know, I normally actually yesterday I went to sleep at about 10 a.m. and then slept
through the day.
Yeah, slept through the day and then woke up and did the show. So there is no time is meaningless at this point. Yeah.
When you're on the tour, is it just kind of like whenever you just go where you got to go?
You know, I'm impressed. Marty Beller, They Might Be Giants drummer, actually gets up and goes to some culty exercise parlor called like Orange.
Yeah, yeah. He's, he does the gym change.
He actually goes to the gym every day wherever we are, and he'll seek it out, and he's very organized about it.
Drummer's got to be
very physical.
Well, also he's a youngster. He's 50. So for us, he's he's like the inspiration, the reminder of our youth.
Yeah, he's a role model for everybody. But the truth is like for me and John, we pound back so much coffee, it's hard to decompress right after the show. So it's pretty
true.
It's like I'm not. Last night I was so exhausted I actually did get to bed early, but like we're often up till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
I've really been enjoying the live vibe reports.
Oh,
and I love it when you look so sleepy and you're whispering because everybody else is sleeping.
Well,
that's adorable.
Yeah, well, I do like the leading them right away.
I've been trying to sing the vibe report songs to Tim, but the only line I can remember always is the what if there isn't a vibe?
Yeah, that's the only constant line. The rest is just made up.
But thank you guys for coming on, and you're heading up to the Twin Cities, which is a sold-out show.
Yep. We're playing at First Avenue, the worst electricity in rock music.
Is it?
Yeah, it's weird. I think I was talking to our Dan, our other guitar player, about it. I think it was the first place we actually had to buy like noise gates on the guitars, and it made me think about Purple Rain, because Purple Rain was recorded live there. And there's just there's tons of distortion on that record. And I wonder if it was just like there was howling ground noise. It's, that they were like dodging. Because I've never, you run across like a lot of bad electricity. It's hard, if you're by like a railroad station or someplace that's like a power plant or someplace that's kicking off some weird electrical fields, But it's like, it is like the problem of guitars is they're noisy.
Well, I've seen you at First Avenue, I think, 4 times.
Oh, really?
And your voice sounded awesome.
Oh, yeah. So, well, it's a great venue. It's a really
fantastic. So for us, you sound just
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, no, it's more of it's. I mean, a lot of it's just like there's a lot of guitar hum when you're on stage, and it's probably not as obvious off stage, but it can. I think that
we remedy it. First
Avenue might be the worst in America, but we've had worse in. There's a club called Cookies in Frankfurt that I think had the worst electricity we've ever experienced.
Well, it's like when the noise is equal to the sound coming. There's no hiding.
Yeah.
You're kind of going strum. It's like, ah.
I feel like
in the German club,
there was like a power plant like exactly adjacent to to the club or something.
Well, there was a place in Jersey that we played a bunch of times. Remember the Red Parrot?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was pretty bad.
It had a metal stage, which seemed somehow
you're
standing on like a piece of like a aluminum or something.
True.
There's nowhere to be grounded.
Yeah, it was a weird idea
or you're
for
just
a stage.
Completely grounded
as a sort of piece of like. Material. It's very odd standing on a metal stage. You feel doesn't seem right.
Well, I wonder if you guys happen to notice the big maps over here.
I'm staring
that's
at it right now.
Yeah,
the beautiful, beautiful Cooper
I love
typeface.
Worldwide. We've got to get more stuff going in Asia and Africa. Yes.
There's a big gap in our map here. And also, I noticed Brazil. But what about these? I see Argentina. But we're missing a lot of these Spanish. Speaking areas. For some reason, Brazil is on the map. And
all
not.
7 continents this last year with requests, and of course, all 50 states. And if you guys have connections with the International Space Station, that's what we're going for this year.
Oh, really?
All right. Okay. Yeah.
We don't have any connections with
Our station manager knows a guy who knows a guy in NASA, and they said it's got to be like a real special thing. And I think this is a real special thing. So
yeah, it's our goal. I don't know how we would frame it, you know, to make it seem more special. I'm trying to think of what we can cook up.
Right. Well, this morning, Tim came up with the Tesla guy. Maybe we could get him to put something in space.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And go that direction.
Well, he already put his car in space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got big ideas.
Yeah. I feel like if we had that much juice in general, our scene would be very different from the way. If we were already somehow pals with Elon Musk, it would be a different world for us.
You'd be jetting to every show instead of on a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Something to look forward to. Elon, if you're out there, call us.
Yes, 507-389-5678. First come, first serve, Elon. First people to get They Might Be Giants played in space. We opened up the world to some questions, and I know you guys don't have a lot of time, but
we got nothing but time.
We can.
What are the hard hitting questions?
Well, one question that's that we got from John on the
miscellaneous
tea.
Right. Asking for a friend. Yes.
And it actually has to do with, because I have two video questions I want to ask you. Let's start with the first one. The video that won I Left My Body is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I just saw it for the first time yesterday.
Yep, and they just released it for the Dial-A-Song song. But fantastic. I can't remember the person that made it. Great video.
He did a good job.
And then somebody wanted to know if you could share the story.
That's not a question.
Behind. No, that was just me kind of.
Oh, okay. Right,
you guys are awesome.
Teeing it up.
you guys are awesome.
The story
I got a question. You guys are awesome.
The Last Wave video with the Run DMC Aerosmith that you guys have been playing. They want to know what the story is behind that because they haven't read anything about it.
Yeah, we don't know who made that. It's a mystery.
Really?
I'm lying, actually. But
because it kind of sounds like you guys.
We're waiting to hear from the legal team is going to change our lives forever when they come after us.
When Elon Musk
comes back from space. I don't know. No, I mean, in fairness, it was like a way to write a song. The idea wasn't to start stealing material from other artists. Although that, you know,
again,
that was fun as well. I forget what the question was. Why did we do that?
You've been
explain it.
They said they didn't know the story behind it. Because if you watch it, it just sets up so,
so
well.
So there's this video for this song, Walk This Way, which is a remake of the Aerosmith hit which Run DMC did their own version of. And
if
Aerosmith,
you're an MTV baby, they played it all the
time. That's right. Yeah. And Aerosmith got involved. And there's actually a really entertaining video of DMC talking about, and you can look for this on YouTube. He talks about how they made that video, and that guy is hilarious.
Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah. Anyway, so the song "Last Wave" was actually just written by turning off the sound to the video and watching the lips of the people and making up different words. And
it was
a great way to write songs. Like, we could write more songs by doing other stuff like this.
As fans, can we recommend videos you should watch with the sound down?
I was watching, there's a Marilyn Monroe movie that I was thinking would be a great, like, there's so much ridiculous singing in it, and I was thinking that would be a great way. And then the other idea, I think it was some Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. It is the most idiotic film.
Well, the nice
made.
Thing about the Last Wave thing is the back and forth.
Yeah,
exactly. It's very the call and response part of it is very asymmetrical. So it actually creates sort of a more interesting dynamic.
Yes.
In the thing.
But so that would be the Gentleman from Prefer Blondes has a lot. Any film.
Oh, right. They're like talking
any
to
film
her.
Musical is like they're singing back and forth. And then then the crowd sings and then she sings and then somebody else sings.
Oh,
the other idea I had was we could take one of our videos and just write a new song.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
I think that would be
that
good.
I've been working on that idea,
but I haven't gotten there yet.
Do you know which video?
That's the point. I don't know yet, but I think it'll be.
I'd do it.
It'll be a surprise. Yeah.
Because that'd be an awesome video to.
Yeah. Plus, you know, we've got a video we can actually use.
That's true.
Right.
We can you don't have to ask anybody if we can use it.
Yeah. We might get sued by Elektra, actually.
Yeah.
Depending on the video.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I love the brand new album. When we talked with you guys last November, you guys were just wrapping it up. And,
oh, right.
And you talked about all the death and everything that was on it. But it's a great album.
Thank you.
We played it when I first got it. We played it, the whole thing, on our nighttime show. And then I've just been listening to it kind of nonstop.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
I keep getting obsessed with different songs. But, man, I got to tell you, The Greatest and Going Into the Last Wave is just amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first three songs are, like, some of the strongest first three songs on a They Might Be Giants album. It's just fantastic. So.
Yeah, I feel like... you know, I mean, we spent a lot of time making the record, and we did a lot of things. You know, we created a lot of songs that didn't make the cut on the record to make it a super strong album, which is sort of, you know, a foolproof way of doing like better work. It's just doing more work. But I feel like you know, when we were doing the Dial Song Project in 2015, we put out the Glean album, then Why and Phone Power, and it was just sort of like. You know, everything we did, we put out. You know, and it was very freewheeling. And the thing is, I mean, maybe this is just like the nature of having something that's well received. But now I feel like we should be more careful. You know, like we can't.
No, I think it's the opposite. We can coast now. we can just put out total crap. You know, because people are just.
I would encourage you to do that.
They're loving
us. Awesome.
I don't know. It's like I wonder.
We could shoot a guy on Fifth Avenue. People would buy a recording of that. No, sorry.
I don't like the way you're thinking, John.
I don't mean to get. I'm not trying to get topical here.
You're scaring me.
Yeah.
Well, a question we had from Eric, who lives in Mankato, and he's associated with the Children's Museum here in town.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to know if you guys would ever do, because you've been, the last couple tours have been kids only, no kids allowed, 21 and up.
Yeah,
most
of the time it's 14 and up. Maybe it's First Avenue is 21 and up.
Okay.
But it's sort of, the 14 and up is weird because it doesn't really help. Like, we should probably make it 16 so people at least have an ID to prove. I mean, it's, I think at this, our current policy is like, you must be this tall, basically, to get on this ride. But
he's also a big fan of your children's albums, and he wanted to know if you would ever consider doing a U.S. tour of children's museums, doing kid shows with the
Well,
kids
it
albums.
Would be, you know, the thing that's tricky about kid stuff, and our office has said this, you know, on multiple occasions, like, organizing one kids show is about the same amount of work as doing a month of rock shows.
Oh,
it's like
that?
Because when you do, because people book in rock clubs tours all the time. Like, there's an established circuit. There's like a way, like everybody. There's established relationships, and there's very standard contracts. Like, our booking agent has been working with all these. You know, like, we've been booked at First Avenue for 25 years. You know, and it's just sort of a fit to fill thing. You know, it's like. Here comes another band. And the thing about kids' stuff is that they're all really specialty things. I mean, I remember once we were asked to go do like a, I did like a site, what do you call it? Like where you go to the, like a site.
A walkthrough
of this place that was very eager to have us do a kids' show there. It's like a kind of a prestigious place in Brooklyn. And the thing that's crazy, it was like an arts-funded place, and nothing about it was architecturally safe for kids. It was basically a black box theater with like seats with no that just went about, you know, 14 feet high with no guardrails.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's like, oh, let's get some 5-year-olds on that thing.
No,
not, you know, you know, concrete floors. You know, just everything about it was like. Catastrophes. We can't think. I mean, the truth is, it's like it's a liability thing, but it's also just like a human thing to just, you know, if you care about kids, you really don't want to put them in a in harm's way. Obviously, the science, you know, a science place would be probably pretty ideal. I don't know, but it'd be it's just
it's still a lot more
hard,
work.
Hard to organize. Yeah. So, you know, we have to
plus
like,
we
stay
hate
together.
Kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know that.
But like you know, when we do regular tours, we're doing like you know six shows in a row. Like I don't know how many. You know, all kids shows always happen on weekends. Like booking weekends is not a,
so you can't
a
do
problem
a Wednesday.
For us.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't know. It was just we've never been able to figure out a good. I mean, I realize I'm just like mumbling now, but like
no,
but we've never been able to crack the code of how to do it.
You do shows that because I know in the Twin Cities you did something downtown that was free. That was
we definitely had a stretch in the O's when we were promoting a lot of kids material.
Yeah.
And now that you know we don't have any kids record out, it is. I suppose it's like very we are pragmatic guys, you know. We sound like we are totally just goofing around all the time, but there's also we would like to tour Japan more, but it's so expensive, you know. I mean, there's so many things that like are fun to do that we don't do as much as we used to.
The first request we had this morning was from Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've been trying to figure out again. Like that's another. It's just about sort of cracking the code. Sometimes, like we're actually going to be doing a legit tour of Canada. This year.
That.
It's like the first time we've ever
we've had
done
like eight Canadian requests this morning.
Yeah. Well, and we put in like it. You know, when I posted the thing on Twitter, I was like, you know, we're playing eight Canadian cities. You know, our first Canadian tour, and the first response from somebody was like a Canadian saying, I didn't know we had eight cities, and I just thought like, oh man,
right,
we're in trouble,
right.
But you know, ultimately, I don't think it'll like change our scene in Canada that profoundly. But at least it sort of makes our intentions clear. And I guess the thing like with the kids stuff is like we like doing kids shows, but it's just it's the practicality, and it's also like sort of like mixed signals. Like when we have people showing up with like really little kids to like really skanky bars that we're playing in at like 11 o'clock at night, and you're just like, why are you bringing your children here?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so, I think it's super fun, and it is like we're very cognizant of like what a great opportunity it was to do music for kids, because in some ways they are this ideal audience. They're like much more open minded. Much less thinking like rock critics, you know,
and they
with their arms
hear
full.
It over and over.
Yeah,
and
so it's really fun. Actually, so I saw a great video of the Sex Pistols playing a show for little at some like birthday party, and John Lydon said that was the favorite gig of his whole life was playing for these little
kids.
Wow. Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
That's so
he
weird.
Said they were, first of all, they weren't like spitting on the band because they felt like that was what they were actually just throwing birthday cake at the band because they were having so much fun. But it was totally spontaneous, you know, like they were just enjoying themselves.
I've got to get online more.
Well, one of our favorite questions that we like asking you guys over the years, because you've been so kind to call in and do interviews with us on the They Might Be Playing, They Might Be Giants Day, is what books are you reading right now? Because you always are reading fantastic books.
I just ordered a book which has a title that kind of hurts my head, which is it's called The Secret Life of Colors, and I feel like it should be called The Secret Lives of Colors or The Secret Life of Color. But it's called The Secret Life of Colors.
So you're not getting past the title. That's
right.
That's
I'm already the title is problematic for me. But I read an excerpt of one of the things, and I heard an excerpt read of one of the entries, and I heard about this book as an English author, and it sounds like a pretty interesting little, you know, it's sort of like a coffee table book, I guess.
Sure. How about you, John?
I'm most of the way through this book called the main title is Germs, and then there's a colon, and it's the subtitle Genes, and it's by Siddhartha Mukherjee, I think is the guy's name.
Okay.
And it's an amazing book that's not overly technical about genetics. So that's my current bus reading, and I'm mostly done with that. What else? This is crazy. We played in Orlando a month ago, and we were in the city of Orlando. It was Virginia Woolf's birthday. Oh. And I was like, didn't Virginia Woolf write a book called Orlando? And so I just found it and read it again. I read it when I was a youngster, and it's one of the craziest, coolest books ever written. I strongly recommend it for people who just want to know how insane literature can be. If they find it generally boring to read books that are 100 years old, it's a super crazy story about a 16th century guy who has this total crazy it's like an adventure, like a picaresque kind of adventure.
Okay.
But then he for some reason turns into a woman. That was just Virginia Woolf was like, I'm going to make the character a woman now.
So Freaky Friday.
And he lives to be 500 years old and becomes a woman in the midst of that. And there's just a lot of other utterly crazy things. And also there's a photograph of the protagonist in the book.
Really?
That's odd.
And how was the photograph created?
It was taken of a person.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Virginia Woolf, check her out.
Very progressive.
It's a crazy book. It's really good.
I will check that out. I love it because when you do talk about books, I'm part of that chat group on Facebook, the Miscellaneous Tea. People start sharing.
Yeah, let's have a book club.
It's a lot like that, which encourage anybody that reads. It's a good thing.
Well, if you're on a bus for half your life, it is it is a really good idea to have something else to do besides, our favorite activity is shouting at each other about the pronunciation of the capital of Nigeria, for example, which is what we're doing literally this morning when we got up. I don't know if people should call in and tell us.
It was a Lagos or Legos.
Legos, yeah, Legos. Is it pronounced Legos?
We had a request.
Like the plastic toy.
Earlier from, what town was that in New York? Hop Hog?
I can't help you there.
Yeah. Five people were like, how pow?
Well, the other thing, New York State has filled, and there may be some of those here, but they decided to name a lot of cities in New York after European historic cities, but changed the pronunciation radically,
right,
so you would never even know.
No.
So
like Indian names that are wildly
Mankato was an Indian name.
Yeah, but at least Mankato kind of sounds like plausible.
Well, who knows? Yeah,
plausible.
We don't actually know. In some ways, it almost doesn't matter because we're just going to massacre the name the way we did with the people.
Did you guys grow up watching Little House on the Prairie?
My wife watched Little House on the Prairie. Linwood Boomer.
This is the big town.
Oh, you're kidding. Linwood Boomer, the creator of Malcolm in the Middle, who hired us for the song, on the television show, played the blind boy or the deaf
Albert.
Boy.
Albert.
Yes.
And what was weird is that when...
Turns out he's not blind in real life.
Yeah, but he was the romantic interest in the show, right?
Mary went
he was
blind,
the
and
sensitive.
Then they
so you, it's blind obviously,
school.
You watched this.
Yeah,
show. I did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this was crazy is that the phone call came in and it was like there's some guy who's pitching a show at Fox and he doesn't have any money but he wants you guys to write it like a theme on spec, and his name is Linwood Boomer and. Just the sort of that constellation of things to me just made me think this is a bad bologna sandwich.
Right, exactly.
This is not enough.
You got all the information
right.
you need.
This is not an opportunity.
Do not answer this call.
This is not an opportunity. I guess there was a callback and my wife Robin took the message and she was like, Linwood Boomer. It has to be the same guy that played the guy on Little House on the Prairie. And that totally piqued her interest. She was a Little House on the Prairie person and really knew everything about it. She's like, that's really strange. And then, one IMDb search later, we realized this guy was actually a totally legit lifer, guy.
Right.
But
could,
the name
still,
Linwood Boomer doesn't even seem like a real name.
Yeah, exactly.
I changed my name when I joined the circus. Yeah.
This is my Hollywood name.
Oh, no, I'm of the Nordic Boomers.
So do you know the scuttlebutt behind is it Laura Ingalls Wilder, right, wrote the book? And the story is maybe that her daughter actually wrote the book. That's the.
I have heard that. Yeah.
But why? What difference would? I mean, why would the daughter write it and then have it attributed to her? What's the good part
just,
of that?
Just because the mom is the one who had the life on the prairie,
yeah.
right? So,
yeah.
So the daughter was.
It's more autobiographical.
But the daughter's story is really interesting because she's one of these like founding mothers of arch conservatism. I don't know if you know this.
I don't know.
Story. Yeah, the daughter is like this super, super right wing, like people, Ayn Rand people are.
Yeah.
She's like the other one, basically.
Well, let's open it up to callers.
Yeah. So just a little more information. I mean, I'm telling you everything I know.
Well, I guess like you know, what was the other? I mean, there's lots of like I'm trying to think of what the book writing family was. There's like a million, not Agatha Christie, because Agatha Christie is like her own interesting biography, but there was some other like mystery writer who it turns out like the son and daughter also.
Murdered the
not
dad.
Not just wrote books, but they like basically like the household like pitched ideas mm-hmm. for mystery books. Like
really?
Everyone kind of got the, but I'm trying to think of who, which one
Andrews?
Was. No.
But, we'll take calls on that
yeah.
as well.
Well, I know you guys can't stay forever, and so I don't want to hog up your time.
We're staying.
I'm just getting comfortable.
Yeah, we're just
that
getting started
amazing.
Here.
Well, what are the other questions?
Laura Ingalls Wilder, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Laura Ingram, call us up.
let's see. We did. Oh, Amber wanted to know. She's a big fan of the Escape Team. She says her kids have been reading the comic book like nonstop. They've read it like 14 times.
I haven't even read the comic book.
And
got it right here. Hey, let's check it out. Let me
show
see.
It to Linnell. Oh,
yeah.
I only got PDFs. Bad. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She wanted to know if and I think you might we might have asked you this before, but did you collaborate with him?
Well, basically,
with that, or did he? We work
with David Coles on a million different things. You know, he's done many videos for us
by
in
the
past.
By the way, Chip the Chip is Tim's favorite song. We've
cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
A lot, which is fantastic.
I wasn't aware there's a Chips movie, and so it was sort of unfortunate that some people thought that it was somehow. Isn't there a recently?
Oh, a tie into the Chips movie?
Yeah. It's not
well,
a tie.
Chips
no
TV show.
No, I'm aware of that. I'm just saying it's currently there's some. Oh. Or recently.
There was a couple years, yeah.
A couple years ago, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But it's not,
not
going to be as good,
that's not
gonna be
a,
as,
that's
good
not,
as the TV show.
Oh,
it's not
no,
in our wheelhouse.
No Eric Estrada in there.
But basically, you know, there was a... David and I cooked up a list. The whole thing with the Escape Team is that we were just looking for like a almost like prompts to write songs. Like all the songs are sort of character songs. And so we just... The thing was we put together a list of names that were... Oh, well, I got to back up even further. There's this guy, Big Daddy Roth, who in the 60s, who was a cartoonist. He was a hot rod. He made hot rods, but he mm-hmm. also drew Rat Fink, which people might know.
They and it was great a very. Stickers and patches.
Yeah.
He drew, like, monsters driving cars with 800
great.
Eyeballs
yeah.
and their tongue wagging behind
and,
them.
And, well, and the tradition of the Rat Fink thing is to have these names, these sort of punny names. For all the illustrations. So we were really just kind of riffing off of that.
Sure.
And came up with, you know, all these names, like, you know, like two dozen names or more. And then just like, you know, whittled them down to the ones that were funny and also not like evil or too strange or didn't make sense, or, you know, or just were like too far afield. But we still have to write some more songs. I mean, like I've got like three songs cooking that I got to finish up. We're only like really halfway through the Escape Team
so
portraits.
So those will be future Dyla songs?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's like the
We have so much work to do when we get home. It's ridiculous. Because we haven't finished our year's worth of Dyla songs.
Well, I love the Nick Offerman video.
Oh, yeah. That came out really good. Alex, we just actually did something in L.A. with Alex Italis. We finally met him. You know, he's done a couple of videos for us. There's so many things in life these days that are like these long-distance collaborations that are just kind of... They're very intense, but they're also very distant at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like having done multiple things with Alex Italics, but having never met him at all is very strange. Like, I realized like he's really young. You know, like that was a,
right.
it was a real eye opener. I think of him as like an adult and was like, wait, you're really like, you know, 20 something.
Right. He's a woman.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
100 years old.
Yes.
Another question about the JoJo cruise.
Jonathan Colton.
Is that just going to be you guys? Or
No.
We're actually not. It's a whole cruise with other artists, and we're just showing up in San Juan. I don't know. Are you going on the cruise, Flans?
I don't know. I've done it before. It depends on what's happening. I'm not sure.
I think I'm. My wife is not interested in being on a boat for that long. I'm not either. But
for some people, cruises are like, you know, prison.
Get the
prison
full
sentences.
Drink ticket.
No! I think that that's just part of it. I think that just comes for everybody.
Do not get the full drink ticket.
Because you can buy different levels. You can buy the one where you just get soda. You can get the one with soda and some alcohol, or you can get all the alcohol.
No, I think the JoCo cruise is a raft of it's just continuous flowing
and
booze.
This cruise would probably be better, but like the cruise I went on. Go to all of the talent show stuff because there was honestly like plate spinning.
What cruise did you do?
Celebration, a big one.
Oh, like you did like a family cruise. You didn't
But they were actually plate spinning. And there was dancing off of weird stuff and
well, the Colton Cruise
is like classic vaudeville.
Yeah, yeah. It would be nice if there was some of that.
There's
like,
a ventriloquist,
you know, tossed in the JoCo Cruise. I've been on a couple of them.
Okay,
and it's basically like a lot of the activities around gaming. So it's like if you're a gamer, it's your people. But like last time I was there, Amy Mann performed. And she was in a lot of different things, and John Roderick from The Long Winters is part of it, and
a lot of comedians.
There's some really interesting, you know, different kinds of comedians. Jean Grey, who's like a rapper as well as she has like a talk show thing that she does. She's very funny. Was part of it. So it's like it's a very interesting, diverse set of talent doing the entertainment on the cruise.
So it's like an anti-cruise.
Yeah, it's like perfect. Well, if you know Jonathan Colton stuff, I mean, he's the titular head of the thing. He's the king of the cruise. It's his cruise. It's his boat. It's I mean, like the whole boat is just JoCo people. So
wow.
So it's the lunatics have taken over the asylum.
Max wanted to know if you're planning on this kind of cover this, but going to Australia anytime soon?
We don't have a tour book, but we have an open invitation. That actually is an economically viable thing. We're not doing that this year, but mm-hmm. part of it is we've had the support of the national radio station Triple J in the past, which completely changes the whole calculus because it means, you know, the way the shows get promoted is, you know, it's we did a tour. Including festivals, that was like a month long.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, part of the thing about what's happening, unfortunately, is that the time that we're freed up is, I guess, the summertime for them. And if you're not on a festival, it's not really viable because the summertime is like festival is definitely festival time.
Yeah, but we will go back to Australia.
Okay.
In 2019.
Right.
Do you like being a part of a festival, or would you rather it just be
mostly? We haven't done that, but the Australian one was pretty fun, actually. I mean, it's like doing kids shows. It's got its own challenges. It's in some ways more gratifying to just have your own audience there. But we've done the Primavera Festival in Spain. That was super fun.
Yeah, in some ways it's like, you know, people kind of lie about this a lot, but like. It is a slightly competitive thing. Like, you actually really do want to, like, win over the crowd.
Mm-hmm. And beat the other bands.
Yeah, you want to win.
Battle of the bands.
You know, exactly. And it's like, I don't think, like, we feel, like, particularly competitive about it. But it is, it's just like.
It's because when you're on top, you don't have to worry about the competition.
Exactly, Shelley. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't want to say that.
Yeah. But it's implied.
Yes.
We've seen some, I mean. You know, it's weird when you win by default.
No, I think, in fairness, I think it's like the opposite way. We traditionally been such a UFO that when we do a festival, we're not competing with any other band because we're just like the oddballs who probably don't even belong there. So that's fine. You know, that's actually a good place to be.
I feel like we have, you know, a chance to kind of persuade people. If we set up the show the right way, it's actually like it gives us access to an audience that we never get otherwise. And it has been satisfying. Like, I feel like when we did like Point Fest,
we were basically
opening for like, you know, Midnight Oil, which is like, you know, having
it helped. Again, it helped that like the radio station was really promoting us, so we felt like we were not imposters. There actually were people there to see us. That makes a big difference, you know. But we've done all these British festivals like Reading and Glastonbury, and they can be miserable because the weather is just we did a crummy job. It constantly rains over there, so that you just have to be prepared for that. And we recently did that one in East Anglia. The rain fest. I think the mud pile.
Yeah, but you know, that was, it was really, you know, spirited. I thought that.
You know,
sometimes when it's ridiculous, it's just sort of like this weird community of people.
Yeah, you get into the groove of that.
We did a show. It was when the guy from the New York, when Michael Azrad was following us around for the New Yorker, and like just right before 1999 or something, like a festival in Nashville where it rained continuously on us and the audience, and it was just like standing rain, like you were in it for a minute and you were just completely
drenched. And then there was no concern about getting more wet,
right?
You couldn't.
But nobody left, and it was like there was a really big turnout, and it just seemed like, well, they're all messed up, we're completely messed up, and it was the nicest thing, is that everything, we'd gone to wireless microphones, which sort of provides a certain amount of security from being actually electrocuted, which is the only other thing that crosses your mind when you're doing like a show in the rain. But I feel like, you know, there's this sort of like, if you're staying, we're playing thing that happens.
Right.
That's kind of nice when it's that chaotic.
I can't imagine anybody that doesn't know you guys going to your show and not leaving like a big fan, because you put on such great live shows.
I wonder.
One of your shows.
People do get dragged to our shows, and I'm sure there's some of them that are just like,
well, then they're just sad sack.
Right.
And you don't need them.
But on the other hand, you might be a big fan and still hate being soaking wet. So that's one point.
Once you resign yourself to be wet, though, it's
fine. We did a show in Dearborn, Michigan, where we're on a roof of a garage.
They were like
golf ball sized hailstones. pounding our audience.
We weren't on stage. We were backstage about to go, or like holding the show because it was this inclement weather. And then we just heard like, It was so weird.
Yeah.
So weird. And, you know, like you hear
they couldn't leave because they're packed together.
Like, you hear the ping pong ball kind of things landing on the roof of what we were underneath.
Yeah.
It was very, very odd.
We went and saw, oddly, at our state fair a few years back, Sonic Youth and the Flaming Lips played.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And there was a tornado watch/warning that went through at the time, and it dumped about 6 inches in an hour.
Ooh,
before the show.
Oh, really? And the show actually went on? The
show went on, and they went out, and they were sweeping all the water off, and everybody was soaking wet. And
I would think for the Flaming Lips that it would be a challenge because he's got to go out in that sphere. And if the tornado comes...
Wayne was actually out
there
sweeping
the water
out himself. He was like the one, like, nope, we're putting on a show.
Right. I'm sure he's totally... But I'm just thinking, you know...
It's kind of fun to be in that situation. It makes it like a... It's already an event, but it makes it like something you're never going to forget.
Shared adversity.
Yeah, exactly.
No, absolutely. No. Yeah. Well, he's getting rich now off of Waincoin. Apparently, that is the new cryptocurrency. Have you not heard about this?
Not his.
Waincoin. Check it out.
I am not surprised.
I just made that up.
but I would not be surprised because he always does those kind of gimmicky things.
Yeah,
he should do that.
The gummy head thing.
The gigantic gummy skull with the Yoko Ono blood
in the Flaming.
That guy. I wish we could steal his ideas.
Was Yoko Ono blood in Flaming?
Yeah, it was blood of all the people that collaborated on the album.
Yeah.
I wish we could steal a tenth of his ideas. We would. I would feel very cool. But Wayne Coyne, that's our idea, so we can do
you
that.
Should, right. Yeah. You should hit him up with that.
Yeah.
Blockchain
man.
Let's see. Did you guys have any songs or questions that you wanted to, or songs you wanted to sing with them?
Yeah. Can you sing along?
Yeah.
I was wondering, I saw you on Conan.
Oh, right.
And it was a fantastic performance.
Thank you.
You guys were amazing.
And
thanks
that
so
Conan
much.
Extra was.
Oh, yeah. The
your version of I Like Fun. So
oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you're on that, and you know, and you're here, you know, two big
media,
you know,
juggernauts.
Emotional, you know, stops, right? I was just thinking about, do you guys have any noteworthy memories of past appearances, you know, like a Letterman or, you know, that stand out?
Or is there something that you would love to do that you haven't done yet?
The space car. I don't know.
Those things are more nerve-wracking than they are necessarily, like, the actual, I don't know.
The Conan show is distinct. You know, we've done that more than any other thing. We started playing on the Conan show in early 90s, and I think we've done like 20 appearances or something like that. And a lot of other shows, particularly Letterman and The Tonight Show, are they're almost like this mandated nervousness where it's like the whole point is to scare the crap out of you before you get out there. And Conan's the opposite. They've always had a super friendly, relaxed vibe, and you know, a really great support staff who obviously love their job. You know,
well, I love the Tonight Show though that you do, Birdhouse.
Yeah, that was the most like pee your pants weird situation we've ever been in. I think
even though it was Jay Leno, it was still like the Doc Severinsen.
It was Doc Severinsen, and that everything about it was like, as John would say, being shot out of a cannon. Like we practiced the song with the 16-piece orchestra. And then Doc Severinsen counted it off when the live thing went on. It was like twice as fast when he counted it off. So we were like, "What do we do? Oh God!"
Yeah.
Ah.
That's how greatness is made. When it's twice as fast as it should be. Have you ever heard that Johnny Taylor when he's doing Jody's Got Your Girl and Gone? That
Birdhouse was already
sex,
Birdhouse was already fast. Awesome. It was already a fast song. It's hard to sing faster than it already is. But it was the aftermath was fun.
Maybe his nerves were really high working with you guys.
Doc, he was nervous because of us. Yeah, I think so.
It was interesting, like just seeing him, like when we were walking into the studio, he was outside like the actual place, and he had this little dog that had like mange.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, holding some little, like, I don't know, even know
he was feeding it like the second half of his sandwich, like that.
It wasn't a chihuahua; it was like some other kind of like, but really like a teacup-y kind of dog that had was like missing like half its hair.
Yeah,
and it just was like, this is a really
Doc
weird.
Is a nice guy.
Yeah, it seemed kind of sad, you know. It's like, you know, here's Mr. Lonesome. Like,
yeah, there was.
Outside.
I think there was like harmonica music playing at the time.
Yeah. And like, it's like hobo Doc Severinsen. Yeah, having a dog with mange is a really weird idea.
Well, I have one last question. What is your favorite song off of the new album? That your favorite song personally?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say. We've been working on so many.
I got my answer. Well, I think that, like, in, you know, this is not just Decorum, but I actually do think I Like Fun is the one that I enjoy playing the most. And
what is it that you're playing on that?
That's a contralto. I'm playing the contralto clarinet, but there's a lot of other interesting things going on.
That's like the bass line.
We do program directors for the day for people that pledge to the station. They come on and play radio with us. She was in band and she didn't know what it was.
Well, it's you know, it's
we're trying to find
instruments
that literally nobody has heard of.
The thing that's tricky about playing I Like Fun live is that it's extremely unforgiving. There's a part of it where Marty and Kurt and I are all doing this exact same, very like linear kind of written through asymmetrical.
You can really tell when you guys are screwing.
Yeah,
up.
And it's just like it's like if there's any deviation or any mistake, it's just absolutely obvious. Yeah. And it really hurts me when I mess it up because it's like, I mean, I'm the only one who's messing it up.
And you made your bed, right?
Yeah. So it's like, Yeah, it's a really intense arrangement, and it's cool when it works, but it's also, it just requires...
got to be on your toes.
It requires a level of sobriety that I'm not I'm not used to.
And what's your favorite?
You know, I mean, we...
you like just one of getting, my songs.
I like, you know, we just started getting Let's Get It Over With into the set. And
that is
a good...
Yeah, that's we played it twice so far in live.
And the second time was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, just getting the songs under our belts is really like the fun challenge. Like, you know, the more we get going, it's like, you know, Mrs. Bluebird is in the set now, and that's cool. I hope, it would be really cool to figure out how to get Push Back the Hands into the show, but I don't...
It's so electronic, and I think it would be...
But, you know, it reminds me of, like, you know, when we first started, like, when we first started doing the guitar, like, I don't know if you remember, like, there was a notion that we couldn't do it live.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And
yeah,
now, yeah. When I think of the guitar, yeah. I think of it as, like, it's, like, the most
live
thing
yeah,
we
yeah.
do. And, like, and the same with, like, fingertips. It's like, there's you just have to... You know, that's true.
Fingertips, we were like...
We knew we couldn't
no
play
way
live.
To play it live.
And it was we didn't even try for, you know, 8 years or something. And then Danny Weinkoff was just like, you guys could do it. We could do it.
Right.
Just
stop being babies.
Yeah. Just like slapped us around.
Yeah.
Pulled some wrestling moves on
exactly.
I've seen you do it twice, and it's been awesome each time.
Yeah. It really seems especially suited for live. You know, there's something about it that's so especially weird. But I don't know. I feel like... I feel like Push Back the Hands, if we just tried it, we could do it
as a not as robotic sounding
and it
version.
It's kind of fun if it's not exactly like what's
well, that's
in the
thing. Yeah, yeah. No. We've done Man It's So Loud in here as a rock song, and it's just got its own vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the adult version of Robot Parade.
I bet Push Back the Hands of Time could work. We should figure it out because it's a cool track, and I don't know.
We get, you know, sometimes there's grumpy fans who are like, it doesn't sound like the record.
Yeah.
Then just play the record.
Go see the Grateful Dead then.
Play the record, yeah.
The Grateful Dead don't sound like their records.
No, go see the Grateful Dead.
Oh, well, but I mean.
See what it sounds like, the records. No, I'm kidding.
I'm confused.
Not our songs. You think of them as, this is my song.
I think we have an informal thing where we each write songs and that person is kind of in charge of the song, you know, more or less. But then we collaborated as closely as we've ever done on this record. I think there's a lot of John gave me a big pile of beats.
Yeah, making beats is a really weird thing because, you know, you can't if you're just making a beat for yourself, like to sort of like jam onto and figure out make a chord progression or like sing yodel a melody over or just kind of do your songwriting deal to. It doesn't have to be that good, you know? I mean, it just has to be, like, a beat, you know?
Right.
Like, sort
but
of
on
like,
the other hand, like, if you're doing it for someone else, you don't want it to be too finished, right?
Like, right, you have to, like, leave some room, but it also, it's like the, when is a beat done in order to hand it off in a collaboration? Because it's got to be inspiring, so it's got to have some spark to it that actually invites more inquiry. But the second you get to that level in a beat, then it's like you sort of want to hold on to it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's like I could do something with this. I mean, like the gospel-y one that the Let's Get It Over.
Yeah, Let's Get It Over With was John gave me the thing with the
and it's very simple
with the claps and everything.
But
it
felt really like effervescent and kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I there was part of me that was just like I like
right.
this one. I don't want to give it up.
No,
that's
it's true.
Love, when you give your
when you give them the thing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've gone through all the questions that we got.
All right,
we got some questions for you.
Okay.
Now,
shoot.
Where are we?
You're in Mankato, Minnesota.
Mankato, Minnesota.
Do you know how to say Minnesota right? Yet?
Minnesota.
You nailed it.
Lagos.
And if you're going to Canada, you got to start.
We're from Lagos,
Nigeria. Start adding A to the end of all your stuff, because that's a real thing. And eating a lot of bacon, back bacon.
With eggs.
Watching
with
SCTV
eggs your
on your tour bus.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop doing that. Stop doing that voice. That's
SCTV.
Oh,
can
I ask you one more question?
Please.
Are you enjoying or hating all of the fan reactions to your haircut?
We haven't actually received any fan.
Track
yeah, we don't.
Your haircuts are just like
I think we're so insecure that we have been shielding ourselves from.
I love
haircuts. Okay, thank you.
I have no problem with haircuts.
I wasn't aware
of
that.
And I loved it that you posted that you're going to do a Morrissey tribute show.
Well,
because I'm a big Morrissey fan.
When I get my haircut, I actually do, like, if the person seems like they would understand what I'm talking about, I will just say, like, you know, the way, like, Morrissey's hair looks. I don't know. It's probably, you know, just as much as what's the white rapper guy who won the Grammy?
which one?
Vanilla Ice?
No. He's from Seattle. I want to say Manafort.
Right. That'll work.
It's not Manafort. It's like
Manafort.
It's like Mana something.
Anyway,
Manafort's name is in the way. But he's got a similar hair. I mean, it's just like, you know, like nothing on the... It's 1930 on the sides.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just... I don't know.
It's a little Elvis.
Yeah, it's got a little something. Yeah.
Rockabilly.
Yeah.
I have these Russian guys in Brooklyn that just... they're actually not Russian. They're Uzbek, but they say they're Russian, which I'm a little confused by. But I think maybe it's like...
They want somebody to recognize where they're from.
People are like, well, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you just said. Maybe they're worried about anti-Muslim thing. I don't know. But anyway, they're
well, it's so just they, like they just know that most people don't know where they're from.
I don't know. I don't know the reason. But anyway, they're great. I love these guys. They're cheap. And I don't care
how
I look.
Do you bring a picture in and say, I want this?
I just say, cut my damn hair, Mr. Uzbek.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Shelley.
Of course.
What a pleasure.
When's are you doing it again this year?
Yep. It'll be. Do we have an official day for it?
Well, we check the calendar.
Yeah, it's probably the Friday closest to November 19th.
Okay. Yeah. We're
all
totally
right.
Doing
cool.
It. And like we said, we're gonna go after the inner.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get all the outer space people.
Yeah.
In on it.
Got it. Because that's like the last. Unless we get everybody from every.
Well, and also the core of the Earth, right? Isn't there some listeners in?
We should get some African things going.
Yeah, we should totally.
And Uzbekistan.
I'm not going to.
That'd be nice.
Yes,
Uzbeks, Nigerians.
Yeah, everybody,
we are here to play for you.
Well, I am going to play "Man It's So Loud in Here."
Excellent. Terrific!
And,
thank you so much for all your support.
And say goodbye to you guys.
Oh, you know we have a gift pack back for you. So you're gonna have to figure out how to distribute this amongst yourselves.
Okay.
But here's all.
Thank
the just
you.
The wow. People here who you like the most. Just
I like everybody.
They get
here.
Stuff.
Everybody that's here.
Yeah. There's
awesome.
Some rare stuff in there.
Awesome. And do you guys want coffee to go? We got
you. Oh no, we're.
We got
I'm.
Coffee.
I'm. I got
a little hit.
Yeah. All right.
I've got Man It's So Loud in here coming right up, and thank you, John.
Thanks again.